Hello. Looks like y'all get me twice today. I wasn't sure if it was me or MJ based on the calendar. I had two. One said me, one said MJ. So I was like, well, here I am. And I will just let all of you know that in the break, you'll talk about someone who is ate up with sports. All I did was scroll Instagram. I have liked every single post I can find of Tennessee winning yesterday. I'm just like, algorithm, feed me. I need all of it. I want to like all of it. So, all right, this is our legacy call. And that means that if you've been here a year or more, you are welcome to get coached. You can just raise your hand. And if you are just, if you've been a member and you've not been here a year or more, you are more than welcome to listen in, listen to the replays. You will get something from it. We have one person who wants to get coached. So we will just stay for an hour, or we will coach until no one else needs help. So let me promote Carla up and then we will get started. You can also put questions in the Q&A if you're more comfortable asking a question Q&A. I'm happy to answer them over there too. All right, let's get you unmuted. Let's get your video going. Has to start video.
Asked you to start your video.
All right. Hey.
Hey, good morning, Corinne.
Boy, you look comfortable.
It's an ulterior motive. For the past month, our son and three grandsons, son of his wife, have been living with us while they transition from full-time Air Force in Alaska to reservist in California, and it's been a blessing and very stressing. And I noticed that since they've been here, I've increased the amount of wine that I enjoy. And I'm thinking that I drink too much wine because I've been a legacy member for probably, gosh, almost 3 years, and I have not been able to drop the weight. And my accountability partner, Holly, shout out to Holly if she's there, suggested that I get on this call and get coached with you because it seems that I'm just in this vicious circle. Now, she also pointed out to me that what I've been eating is likely causing me to just stay in the maintain, just because I plan for sweet treats and I end up eating them every day,
Are
or
you hungry
treats
for
like
them?
wine. Hungry for them? Oh, of course, I'm always hungry for something sweet, but
No, are you
am
hungry
I
for them?
hungry? Not necessarily, no.
Okay, so that is going to be really hard to eat. Like, it's really hard to lose weight when you're going to only eat because you want it. Because we're going to want a lot of things. Like, we have
Right.
to not eat because we want it. We have to eat because we need it.
Okay.
I mean, that shouldn't be new news.
It's not.
Okay, but like, why were you shocked? You're like, okay.
Because I feel I deserve it.
Why do you deserve? Let me ask you this, and I want you to really hear how I ask this question. Why do you deserve to have candy and wine instead of the things you really want in life?
I think ultimately it's just an avoidance.
Of what? So it's not that we want candy and wine. So I want you to really think about this. I don't want candy and wine. I want to avoid things. Because when we talk about it real sexy, like, well, I always want candy. Like, you need to tell the fucking truth if you ever want to get to the point to where you can say no to things. Talking about something with one lens, like it's delicious and fun and all these other things, that means you're lying to yourself because that's not the truth. The truth
Right.
is, when I have candy and wine, It is because I want to avoid these things. If I actually really just wanted to enjoy candy and wine, I would have it sometimes, but I would enjoy it. When I'm eating it to avoid something, I'm not enjoying it. Otherwise, I would enjoy getting on this call with Corinne and saying, "Thank you so much. I have lost so much weight while eating candy and wine." Because you would be really enjoying all that candy and wine you had. But if you have to come
Right.
on here and get coached and stuff, that means you have not been enjoying it. You have been only avoiding things. So for all of you, I just, especially in legacy, when you've been like, I love that y'all have been here. Trust me, I appreciate that y'all stick with me on this. But this is the biggest problem I see y'all do is you just sit back and you don't do the deeper work. You just kind of enjoy yourselves here.
Yeah, that's true.
And I want you to enjoy not being here. I want you to enjoy the life you're creating because you are here. So let's take it up a notch. Let's not just have fun here. Let's also like figure out what are we avoiding? What are you avoiding?
Feelings of inadequacy. I mean, I didn't struggle all my life with weight. I mean, there was always food available to me as a child, and I think I look back on my life because now I'm in my retirement years, and I want to say for probably the last 15 years I've been at this weight. And I don't necessarily like it.
Why are you inadequate?
Because I can't do the things that I used to be able to do and enjoy, because it's harder to do those exercises, the physical activities with this added weight.
Okay, so what do you make it though? But why do you feel inadequate? So I want you to see this. There are things that you can't do because of your weight right now. That doesn't automatically make us feel inadequate. Some people would be motivated by that. Like some people would say, like, I'm fucking like that was kind of me when I first started losing weight. I couldn't keep up with Logan anymore. He was getting, to the point where he wanted to run around and it hurt. And I was actually very terrified that he was going to either run into the street or something was going to happen. And because I couldn't get up well and because I got winded so easily, I really thought something bad was going to happen to him if I didn't start taking better care of myself. So that was one of my motivating reasons. So I didn't feel inadequate. I felt a little inadequate, but I felt more motivated because of it. It was like my thought was, shit, I got to fix this because I want to be able to do this. You're not having that. What you're having is like, this is the life. I can't do these things because of my weight. So now I'm thinking something that makes me feel very inadequate. And when I feel inadequate, I'm going to eat candy and I'm going to eat out and drink alcohol to avoid feeling inadequate because I don't want to feel bad.
Right.
Problem is you still feel bad
I
with the
do.
eating, right? It's not
Yes.
solving inadequacy, and it's sure as hell not letting you do the things you want to do.
Right.
So, why do you think you, what are you making it mean that you can't do these things that causes you to feel inadequate?
I think I'm putting my perception is that my family, you know, I mean, I look at my son my husband, who's always been less weight than I have been, even when we were young and thin. I get the perception that they just feel sorry for me.
Okay, so we're still in fact land. I still haven't figured out why you feel inadequate. I've got weight. I have like always been the heavier one. I think that they feel sorry for me. Okay, I still don't understand why you feel inadequate. What are you making all of that mean about you? Because there's a story you're telling yourself about you on the inside that's driving inadequacy. Because here's what I can't do. I can't make them fat to make you feel better.
That's what I've been having a hard time figuring out. It's like even when I journal, it doesn't seem to come out. I mean, I did journal a couple of days ago. My accountability partner gave me a couple of really good prompts, and one of them that I mean, I journaled on it, and what came out to me was, I have this fear that I'm just not going to be able to maintain the weight loss.
Okay, that's good to know. Your brain is being very irrational. It's like, if you're not going to be able to maintain it, why bother? Except the problem is that we
Exactly.
don't know if you're going to be able to maintain it or not. So I always like to tell them, this is an easy fix. If you know like you've got that solved now. If you know the biggest fear that you have about losing weight is, I don't know if I can maintain it, then here's what I always tell myself. Let's go lose the weight then, and then let's see if we can maintain it. But let's not lose weight in the event that when I get there, I might not be able to do it. Just think about how dumb that is. That's like saying, I'm not going to buy a
Right.
car because I don't know if I'd be able to drive it. So I'm just going to have to stay at home for the rest of my life.
Right.
So this is one of those things you don't have to do any more thought work on it. You just have to know when you get afraid and you have to call bullshit every single time. Say, like, look, I get that you're afraid you can't maintain it. If the worst that was going to happen is that you gain weight back, well, we're just back at square one. That's the worst thing. The worst thing that can happen is what's happening right now. So me not doing anything is not preventing my worst case scenario.
Right.
All it's doing is not even giving me a chance to be wrong. You could be really wrong about this, but you're going to stay this way in the event you're wrong. That's what we tell ourselves there. So we're not going to coach on that because that makes no sense, right? We just found an illogical thought. I want to know why you're inadequate. I want to know, like, you have thin husband, thin son. You think that they think things about you.
Right.
I'm not even going to argue. Let's just pretend that they do, that everything that you imagine is just true as fucking get out. I still want to know why you feel inadequate. Instead of motivated.
It's because I'm comparing myself to other people that have succeeded in the program.
It's not that. That's what you're doing because you feel inadequate. You've got to be thinking, like, what is it you're making all this mean? I am what? We only feel inadequate when we think like here we are, I'm comparing, I'm looking at my husband and my son, there's the things I can't do. All of that is just what's happening. But you're thinking something about you. I make all of that mean I am blank and I feel inadequate because of that.
No, I'm a total failure at this.
Okay, that's the problem that we're running into. So the reason why I want to pull this apart is because if you keep thinking, I feel this way or I'm not losing weight because, well, my husband's always been thin, then the problem, the solution is, well, I know how to make you feel better. Send him to my house for 3 months. I'll fatten him right up for you. If like the only thing that's going to make you feel better is to go out and do things. Like to lose weight, then we have an easy solution. You don't have to feel inadequate. You just need to feel motivated. Like, oh, I can see. I want to be able to do these things. So I need to make these changes so I can start doing these things. Now I feel motivated. But you're looking at all of this and saying, see, this is why I'm a failure.
Right.
Why would you choose to believe that you're a failure? Because you have weight to lose. Or what makes you a failure because you have weight to lose?
I guess it's because I can't keep up. Obviously, I can't keep up with my grandsons. They're 4, 6, and I have an infant. And I watch my daughter-in-law with concern, kind of overseeing me when I'm picking up the baby, if I'm on the floor and I'm picking up the baby and trying to stand up with that extra weight of the baby. And I think there's this, they just look at me and feel sorry.
Is the problem that you think they feel sorry for you, or are you feeling sorry for yourself?
I think the problem is that they look at me and feel sorry for me.
Okay, so if that's the, like, we have to really think about this. Should they?
No.
Okay, what should, then tell me this. What should they be feeling? First of all, we don't even know that's what they're feeling. Unless you told me, my daughter-in-law looks at me and she goes, "I'm so sorry for your situation."
True, yeah. I don't know what they think.
So we don't know. We're just going to right now, we're going to play in the land that your worst case scenario is happening in their brain, that they're feeling sorry for you. When you're in the floor and you're struggling getting up with the grandbaby, I don't, are you struggling or are you just fine?
I'm fine, but
Okay.
I in my mind I'm sitting here thinking, God, they're looking at me going, geez, I hope she doesn't fall over face forward and crush the baby.
Okay. So, but they haven't said that.
No.
Okay. This is where we got to be really clear. If they haven't said that and your answer is they feel sorry for me, you've got the wrong answer. You're feeling sorry for yourself because if they haven't said that, I just want you to think about this. Why would your brain make that up? Of all the thoughts that it could think about you getting off the floor with a baby in your arms, your brain goes to, I need to explain the situation. Oh, everyone feels sorry for you. They think you're going to fall and crush the baby. Like, just imagine, like, why would that be the thought versus, I bet she's glad to have a few minutes of me holding the baby versus her. Or maybe she's just thinking nothing.
Right.
Like, just to, I just want you to think about this. Why would your brain make up that horrific, insulting story about you when you don't have any evidence that anyone's thinking that?
Because deep down, that's probably what I'm thinking about myself.
Well, tell me. Like, check in your body right now. Like, take, just take a deep breath. When you hear me say, maybe you believe that it's hard for you to get up out of the floor, or that, like, I think that story kind of represents, like, somehow you're inadequate. Does that land inside? Like, maybe that's more what I believe or what I
Oh
could be thinking.
yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, when you put it, when you sat there and just said it like that, I could feel myself tensing up.
So, this is why it's good to know. Because what ends up happening is if we don't really understand how we're talking to ourselves internally, then it's easy for us to think, I feel bad because of all these things happening around me. And if it wasn't for my husband being thinner, if it problem with blaming what's going on outside of you is that in order for you to change, now we have to start controlling everything outside of you in order for you to change. If it's really more, this is kind of me, I need to be aware of how often I am struggling. Instead of thinking other people are thinking this about me, maybe I should, in these moments, be like, maybe I am struggling. Maybe I need to see more of what my life is really like when I'm eating candy and drinking wine to avoid feeling uncomfortable.
Right.
Sometimes the easiest way to lose weight is literally to just honestly look at your life and to not sit there and try to like tell me everything I need to do to lose weight. Because y'all all know exactly what to do to lose weight. If you've been in this program for 3 years, it is not a fucking mystery.
That's right.
You can eat candy, but you know that if you're planning for candy, and you're going to eat it when you're not hungry, but you're only going to eat it when you're emotional, but you're planning it so that you can have emotional eats, you know you're bastardizing the system.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because planning for candy and then not being like hungry for it is supposed to give you pause to be like, so why would I right now eat this candy instead of just being like, I am not hungry. So whatever's going on, I've got to experience it for real. I don't get to, I'm not going to sit here and experience it through the veil of candy anymore. Because candy's not letting me realize, oh my God, I am planting seeds in other people's heads about what they must be thinking of me. And I'm planting awful seeds in their head. Why would my brain think that people who love me would think the worst of me? Probably
Right.
because I'm thinking the worst of me and I'm not admitting it because I'm too busy drinking wine and eating candy.
Yeah. That's true.
What are you thinking? Or what's coming up for you?
I just have to give myself a little grace and talk to myself the way you've just talked to me.
And that would be like
Because
what in your in Carla's world?
in Carla's world, it would be like you're making things up again. It's not necessarily true. And really, what you need to look at is you are a good yaya. You love those kids. And they don't look at you differently just because you're heavier than you want to be.
So let me
And
ask you, when you think of that, when you think you are a good guy, did you say Gaga?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I didn't know
It's
how you, yeah. I thought maybe that you had been named after Lady Gaga or something.
Greek.
My son has one grandmother called Gramu and a Grouch. So like, I always like to clarify names because we have them all in my family.
Right.
When you're thinking, I'm a good yaya. And I'll give you this thought. It's a little spin on what you said. The grandbabies don't see me the way I see me. They don't judge me
Yeah.
by my body. They judge me by how much I love them and how much I care for them and stuff. Like that is what they're consumed with, right?
Right.
Do you feel inadequate?
No.
That's what we really want to start talking like to ourselves with in ways where right now, you're going to feel inadequate if you're thinking they're all judging me. They think all these things instead of I am judging me. I am thinking all of these things. And that's on me to work on. When we think that instead, we at least have clarity about what the real issue is. We're not just
Right.
spinning. Because at the end of the day, you know, you can't control what people think. Hell, you
Yeah.
lose all the weight. And then, you would imagine that they're all thinking you're too thin or you're too frail.
Yeah.
Like, if you're determined to be inadequate, you will find ways to be inadequate.
Yes.
So that's why when we're trying to lose weight, we have to solve the problem first. And the root cause of your problem is you're making your weight a way bigger deal than it is. Your weight does prevent you from doing the things you want to do. Period. Not
Right.
your weight prevents you from doing the things you want to do, which means everybody thinks you feel sorry. Everyone feels sorry for me. I'm letting people down. I must be a failure. That's the way you're doing it. When we just are clean with the truth, which is, I am a great grandmother. I love these kids. I'm going to take 100% care of them. When they're in my care, they are going to be safe. I would never put them in harm's way. And I also know there are things I want to do in life, and weight is stopping me.
Yes,
So I'm
that
not a
risk.
failure. I just can't do the things I want to do. And so I probably should start figuring out what is it going to take to lose some of this weight so I can do some of the things I want to do easier.
Yes.
So what do you think that is?
Oh, some of the things that I can do.
Yeah.
I do, really well on sleep. I do pretty good on my water intake. And I have been writing in my daily planner that, or weekly plan that I just should probably focus on adding more vegetables instead of just having them at dinner time. Why not have them at lunch?
Why are we not doing that already? What has stopped you from just going ahead and doing that?
Laziness. I can't stand to cut up salads. I feel like I'm emptying the entire refrigerator every time I cut up a salad.
Could we just do a salad with only lettuce in a bag?
Yeah. Easy. Definitely.
Well, why is your brain trying to make it complicated though? Why what is better about a fridge full of vegetables you have to chop and drag out every single day you want to make an extra salad?
Nothing. I mean, I think part of that is that my husband, who's more of a connoisseur when it comes to salads, he doesn't like it when I cut up a big salad and then have it in the fridge because he doesn't like the tomatoes getting the lettuce wilty.
Okay. Could you just not have tomatoes on your salad?
Yeah.
Like, I just want you to think about this. Like, there's a thousand solutions, but for some reason, you're just like, well, I either have to do it this way or I can't do it because I'm lazy. This
Right.
doesn't even sa You know what this sounds like to me? This is not a laziness issue. You know what this sounds like? Like, I love how when I asked you, why aren't we just ha adding vegetables now? Well, it's laziness. It's just laziness. Thank you, inadequate voice, for offering me an answer that makes no fucking sense. Because I don't think it's laziness. I think it's lack of creativity. Because there's a thousand ways to eat a salad. If your husband doesn't like that, you can have you could first you could have a conversation with him and say, like, these are my salads. I'm not making you one, bitch.
Yeah.
But so you don't need to worry about them being wilty. I made it for me. So
Yeah.
I'm all in on my wilty ass salads.
I do that. I mean, I do tell him that. He's like, well, I don't want that. That salad's from last night. That's gonna be horrible. And I said, it's not your salad, it's mine. So
Yeah. So you
it's
just
my
need to be, but you need to be aware that You're coming up with creative reasons to not do something simple. Like you already have solutions. If you really wanted to add vegetables in, you could just do it. And but if you think it's going to be complicated, or like I have to, like y'all have to do a better job at poking holes in the shit stories you present yourself.
Exactly. This is, I
The
know that's
salad is a
wrong.
really good example. Like I ask you, like, why are we not doing it? Well, answer one is I'm lazy. Answer two is my husband doesn't like soggy tomatoes on lettuce. Answer three is I have to drag everything out of the refrigerator, chop it all fresh as if I'm making a buffet for the neighborhood. Then I got to put it all back in. And for God's sakes, that's going to take forever. Like, y'all
Yeah.
question your brains. If that's the story you tell about a salad, our brains are wired to avoid pain. You have a very painful story around a salad. If you had a boring ass story, like, well, like let's pretend you do chop everything fresh, start to finish. How long do you think if I had to clock you with a stopwatch, how long do you think it would take to prepare said salad?
Less than 10 minutes from the time of taking everything out of the fridge and putting it all back.
Okay, so I want you to imagine this. If rather than saying, oh, I have to drag everything out and it's a lot and that's just going to take forever. What if the story is like, okay, I really believe my brain could be a little exaggerated right now. Here's what I think requires a salad. 10 to 15 minutes of preparation. So rather than tell myself it's so hard, if I tell myself, do you want to spend 12 minutes preparing a salad. You don't get to think it's hard. You don't get to think anything else. You just give it the facts. Do you want to spend 12 minutes preparing a salad? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, you go prepare a salad. If the answer is no, then say, like, okay, what is the 5-minute version of a salad? How long do you want to prepare one? All right, then let's only chop up those vegetables. I mean, for a lot of you, what you've just got to do is you have to stop talking about things in your like catastrophe cave. It's like,
Yeah.
it'll take hours to make a salad and you gotta drag it all out and the whole kitchen will be dirty. And then I'll have to waste water washing dishes. Like, a lot of times that is like literally the telenovela that even can go on in my head when I've gotta make my lunch.
Right.
And if it really is something you don't want to do, this is a news alert for all of you. Find a fucking simpler solution. Just like me. You know what? I don't want to make salads every day, Carla. I am
Right.
the person who doesn't want to chop everything up. That's why we pre-order food so that my food never takes more than a minute and a half in the microwave. I don't even like making a Weight Watchers meal because it takes 3.5 minutes. My other food that's pre-cooked takes 1.5 minute, but that's what I eat every day because I have told myself, Gran, you really like simplicity. So we're just going to make it really simple.
Right.
So, what do you think you need to do? So, are you going to add vegetables or what do you think you need to do in order to lose enough weight to get started losing enough weight? In order to do the things you want in life.
I think, like I said, getting more veggies in. I also think that here, this is my diet brain, I think, popping in saying empty calories, those aren't good calories, what I've been planning. So I think for me, the satiety comes from having more protein.
Hey, can you add some protein?
Oh yeah, I have pre-cooked chicken in the freezer, so that's easy enough.
Okay, so
Cheese.
do what?
Cheese.
Eat some cheese, put some cheese on your salad.
Yeah.
Yeah, put some cheese on that chicken.
Yeah.
What if we made our meals a little bit more delicious? And we, like, I'm just curious why, when I ask you, what do you think you need to do in order to lose weight? The one thing you didn't tell me is probably need to quit eating candy and wine when I'm stressed. To me, that's going to be the fastest way to lose weight. You could probably
Right.
change nothing else you're doing, literally nothing else you're doing. You could, whether you eat a salad or not, and you get out the chicken or not, you probably just, if you could get to where you say no to candy, unless, like, if you want to have candy, plan it with dinner and eat less dinner, or plan it with lunch
Right.
and eat less lunch. But no
Exactly.
more eating it because I'm not hungry. I just want it. And I just want it because I got grandbabies driving me crazy right now living in my house.
Right.
And instead of drinking every night, I'm just going to sit there and be like, fuck me. I can't wait for these people to move out of my house.
Have done that too, and honestly, that urge does, I don't even realize it until like 30 minutes later that I've stopped with the urge. So my guess is that that urge of I need a glass of wine goes away within the first 5 minutes of me thinking I need a glass of wine.
Here's one, here's a thought that I used. I never need wine. I have got really good at telling myself, because I used to say, like, we need to go to the bar tonight. Like, I've had a day and I need to go there and have a drink so we can talk. I stopped saying that. I told myself, you have to tell the truth. No one in the world needs wine. No one
True.
needs alcohol. I can always tell myself, I've had a bad day. And instead of figuring out how to not have bad days like this, I'm going to go drink wine instead. That really, like, there's a few times when I still went and drank, but boy, was it not as pleasant. Because every time I told myself that, it was like, well, we're just telling the fucking truth these days, aren't we? Like, it allowed me to really look at my life. Instead of saying I need wine, it was so much more earth-shattering. It took a few weeks of me saying, you don't want to work on what the real problem is. You just want to drink wine instead.
Yes.
And that I got very uncomfortable living in. When I would tell myself, like, you've had a day, you deserve it. We just need to do this. If I never had a different conversation, I was very comfortable. I mean, it sounds lovely. Doesn't it sound like
Yeah.
we're just taking care of ourselves? We're just doing what everybody does. No. We are literally sitting there saying, I don't want to change my life. I want to keep having Groundhog Day over and over again and then ending it with wine so that I can have so I have to do this again tomorrow. And I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. So that's when I had to really start thinking, like, what the fuck was so wrong with this day? What is on
Right.
repeat? What are the things I'm not addressing?
Okay.
And you can say the same fucking shit about candy because no one needs candy either. We didn't have candy in caveman days. So I know we don't need it.
Right.
Like all this food. That y'all are like, well, I don't want to be deprived. I'm like, deprived is in like a province of Africa in the bush where there's literally no food in a drought. We got some deprivation going on over there. All of us up in our fields about a bad day and not being able to have some candy, we need to tell ourselves, I feel deprived, but I'm not deprived. I'm actually right now deprived of this other feeling. That's probably what I'm deprived of. So, like for you, it's like, girl, you are not deprived of candy right now because you're not having it. You're deprived of your own love. Because you're sitting around thinking about how inadequate you are. You're sitting around imagining worst case scenarios in other people's heads. You're deprived of feeling like a good yah-yah right now. That's what you're deprived of. It's not a jawbreaker or whatever it is you're eating.
Right.
Probably not a jawbreaker. I've never had a no BS woman bust in here saying that their problem was jawbreakers. It's usually Snickers,
Candy corn.
candy corn, yes.
Okay.
So, what are you thinking now? Like, what do you think you're like, what are you going to walk away with this?
I'm going to walk away with this knowing that I can make the change. It's going to feel uncomfortable, but I really want to give myself that thought of you may feel the need that you have for the wine and candy or chocolate or whatever it is that I want to bust into at night. But I really don't want that.
Right.
I really want to be able to connect with whatever feeling it is that I'm
We already
trying
know
to
what you're
gloss
feeling.
over.
Inadequate. You don't even have to act like you don't know what it is.
Right.
Like, I need to sit there at night and feel like I need to feel inadequate until I realize I'm not. The only way you're ever going to solve that is by sitting there and feeling it and being like, is this even real? Is there real reasons for me to feel this way? Like, just like even if it's stress at night, like a lot of times I'm like, I need y'all to let your brain tell you why you're so stressed out so you can go to questioning. Like, this has happened all day on my coaching. People keep coming to me, stress, anxious, hurt, all these like mixed bag, inadequate of emotions based on, I think other people are saying these things. I think other people are thinking these things. I would rather all of you sit at night with the world's most ass full of cravings so that you can be like, the reason why I'm stressed, like when I don't eat, I sit here and I think about all the things that I think people are thinking about me. That's good to know. If you go eat candy, then we're just going to go through another day tiptoeing through the minefield of your imagination. All the imagination you have of what people are thinking about you. If we at least start with, did anyone say these things to me? Do I have proof anyone feels this way? Because 90% of the time, no one's thinking that but you. So at least
Right.
you can start spending your day thinking, when I'm with my grandbabies, I don't have to worry that they don't love me because I'm realizing my grandbabies love me. I don't love me. I don't love me like this. There are parts of me that I love. And here are the parts I don't love right now. And I just want to change them because I think that those parts might make my life better.
Right. Oh, this has been really helpful.
Well,
And
good.
I'm already sitting here thinking I can't wait for this call to be uploaded so I can listen to it again.
Yeah. Listen to it a few times and just take the notes and take the notes and take the notes on like, I want to work on this. I want to work on this. Like, you deserve to feel better and you can feel better now simply with a few tweaks on like, I don't need wine. Sometimes I want it when I feel inadequate. Is this one of those times? I don't really need wine, but sometimes I drink it at night. I wonder why. I wonder why I want to drink wine when I also know I want to be able to do things in my life. And weight's holding me back from all these things I really want to be doing. So why is it at night? Sometimes I want to drink that wine instead of getting what I really want. And it's always going to be because something in that moment feels very urgent to get away from or to numb out from, or
Right.
you want to create some kind of feeling. Like if you want to feel relaxed, but all day long, all you're doing is going through your life stressed out. A lot of times we drink wine or we eat at night to finally feel relaxed because we don't know how to calm ourselves down, which means we got to start earlier in the day, not stressing out over dumb shit. That's one of the ways to make sure that at night we're not so on the edge that we have no recourse but to drink or to eat.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I didn't know
Thank
there's a few Carlos
you.
in the group. I didn't know which one was coming.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Corinne.
You're welcome. Enjoy that sunshine. It looks lovely.
Oh, it is. It's going to be, I think, 76. We're in Southern Oregon.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're going to
Yeah.
be around the same temperature here today in Tennessee, so it's good. Thank
Yeah,
you.
it is. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Linda. I have a hard time talking myself out of my own judgmental thoughts. I don't have other people's thoughts. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's yours or theirs. Like most of the, like you just need to make a list of your judgmental thoughts, Karen. And then you have to now be on high alert for when they start. And you have to like poke holes in them. So like if you have a judgmental thought about yourself, we do the same thing that we do with other people, is we just like we listen for when they start up, and then we're like, okay, and here's also what's true. That is the key. And it has to feel true. It can't be platitudes, mantras, like shit we want to believe one day, unless you say, here's what I'm thinking now. Here's also what's true. And one day I really want to think about this. Like, this is how I would like to think. All right, let's go, Linda. Tell me the things.
Well, I've been in no BS for almost 2.5 years, and I've lost 40 pounds.
Okay.
I've got 9 more to go to get to my low goal.
All right.
And I just find that some days I just want to throw in the towel and say, to hell with it.
Why?
I have rheumatoid arthritis. I've been on a whole 30. I am gluten-free and dairy-free. I was eating nothing but twigs and grass for 30 days, and I've started to reintroduce foods. I did eat meat all along, but I didn't even eat rice. I just ate
I
meat,
don't care about the
vegetables.
diet at
Yeah.
all. I want to know why you want to throw in the towel. I want to know
Because
your thoughts about that.
I'm so close, and I just feel like I can't get there, and I'm sabotaging myself.
What is there? The
Down
9
to
pounds?
142.
Okay. I want to just ask you a few questions before we get into coaching. Why is 142 the goal weight? Like what is losing the 9 pounds going to do for you?
It'll boost my self-esteem.
No.
I'm hoping that it'll allow me to get up and down more.
Okay,
I
that
do have
one works.
rheumatoid arthritis, and I'm on two different meds, and I just think if I can get the weight down and really eliminate all the anti-inflammatory foods, that this rheumatoid arthritis will go away, and I can get off the methotrexate and let my hair grow back and just feel better, because I have so many days that I just feel like crap.
Okay. When you say you feel like crap, if you had to give it a percentage, how much of it is I feel like crap emotionally versus I feel like crap physically?
Emotionally, probably 80%, and physically, 50%.
All right. There's only 100, so we got to do 80.
Oh, okay. Oh, come on now. I want to do
You're
each
doing
one.
Corinne math there, which
I
is
want each
like
one
not that great of
separately.
math.
Yeah. Okay. So emotionally, oh, I'm probably at about 60 and physically at 40.
Okay. All right.
Because I can do ibuprofen and hydrocodone that helps with the pain.
Okay, so I have just a few more questions and then we'll get to the coaching side.
Okay.
Nine more pounds is going to help you get up and down easier. We know that for sure.
I don't know that because I haven't been down to 140 pounds for probably 25 years.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you getting up and down easier since you've lost 40 pounds?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. So it just makes logical sense that if you lose a little bit more weight, that could get easier. Okay.
Right. Plus,
And the
I've had
reason why I'm
open heart.
asking that is because like
Yeah.
my mother has lost 120 pounds and we thought it would make it easier for her to walk. It has not.
Oh.
So it doesn't like that's why I want to check this stuff some because sometimes we make assumptions. And like now lots of things in my mom's life has improved. She's got deformed feet and they are they've like the arches have totally collapsed. Her ankle bones aren't set right. Like
Oh.
she was born with feet like that. She can walk, but she has excruciating pain all the time. She has lupus, so she has like systemic arthritis, that kind of
Yeah.
stuff. Weight loss has improved lots of things in her life. She's gotten off a lot of meds for heartburn and stuff like that. But when it came to pain level, over there, that didn't really affect it. And the reason why I want to ask is because sometimes we just need to make sure that that is something we want to be using as a reason to keep going. Because sometimes people have reasons to want to lose the last 9 pounds and they're not really good reasons. They don't even know it. And then when we kind of talk it through, they kind of decide they're in maintenance at that point. But I don't think that's where we're going with you, but I just want to ask a few more questions. You said your RA might go away. This is what I know about RA because my niece has it. I didn't think it was something that goes away. I thought it was something you would always have.
I'm hoping it'll go into remission.
Okay. I just want, like, let's make sure we say
Yes.
that rather than
Yeah.
our, if you're telling yourself my RA might go away and it doesn't, but it gets better, it could trip you up when you get to 142. So we
Yeah.
just want to articulate it. So, it like my RA could go into remission.
I can get off some of the blood pressure pills that I'm
Okay.
on because I had open heart surgery. The rheumatoid arthritis ate my aortic valve.
Okay.
So I had open heart surgery. I'm on lots of heart medicines, and I'm hoping to get off some of my blood pressure pills.
And have you talked to your doctors about will 9 pounds make a difference for that, or are we just assuming?
Well, I'm a medical professional, and I know
Okay.
that the weight down will help with my blood
Okay.
pressure.
Just want to make sure
Yeah.
because there are some people that will say they want to get off meds when their doctors have
Yeah.
basically said, you lose all the weight you want. This, you're not going to come off this med. I just
Right.
want to make sure.
I just want to get the doses down so that my blood work goes back to normal. My sodium level's low, and I think it's because of the valsartan I'm on.
Okay. All right.
You know, I
So
just
I
I
believe
want
you
to
on that.
just feel better
Okay.
and.
That we can do in two ways. But right now, I think you're trying really hard to feel better by losing 9 pounds when 60% of the reason why you feel like shit has everything to do with what's going on in your brain and has nothing to do with 9 pounds. Because when I asked you, what's going to happen in 9 pounds, your first answer was, it will boost my self-esteem. And I'm going to tell you, it's not. You know why? If you're not feeling fucking proud and like a powerhouse after losing 40 pounds, why is 9 more going to make your self-esteem suddenly be like, correction moment? I've been wrong this whole time. It's because weight loss doesn't make us feel better emotionally. The only thing that makes us feel better emotionally is when we know what we're thinking about ourselves. That gets in the way of feeling better emotionally. That is what I think you're standing, but because when you start telling me, I just want to give up, I want to throw this all away, or whatever it is that you said in the very beginning,
Throw in the towel. I just, yeah.
that is because you're emotionally worn out. Because if I had to guess, after 40 pounds, you probably do feel physically different.
Oh, yes.
So that's how I know you're too focused only on the physical and you're not doing the part where you're looking at your fears and you're looking at like whatever it is that you're like, why is your self-esteem in the toilet? Why is someone who's lost 40 pounds and it's a given that you're probably going to lose the last 9 and has amazing reasons to do it? Why is someone like that 60% of the time not feeling good about themselves?
You're right, and there's a whole lot of why I don't feel good about myself. It's other people haven't really recognized that I've lost all this weight. We live in Montana, kind of in an isolated area. And I mean, they haven't. And to hear someone say, "Wow, you look great," really does boost your morale, and
It
feeling.
doesn't boost your morale, though.
I know. And I don't know what to do to get myself on top of feeling wonderful. I talked to MJ. She said you need to do a relationships course with the rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, but let me ask you
And
this. In your ideal world, what would it take for you to feel, other than losing 9 pounds? What is it that you, let's do it this way. Did you say, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly, because there was actually a big loud noise behind me while you were talking. Did you say that when other people comment on your weight, it boosts your morale?
it just makes me feel proud of my accomplishment, I
Okay.
guess. Yeah, makes
So
me
in
feel
your
good.
ideal world, that's good to know. What are the things you need to hear in order for your self-esteem to stay up? And this can be what you wish other people would say, like whatever it is.
That I look great, that, you look so good. I kind of get tired of hearing that one because I don't feel so good. I mean, I just don't feel good. And just be supportive of the weight loss and
And what would that look like? If you were
well,
if you had waved your magic wand and it was just support everywhere, what would that be?
that people are interested in me for what I've done to help lose the weight, to try and improve my health, instead of just saying, "Oh, you look so good," and "What did you do?" And I tell them, "No bullshit, women." And it's, and they all go, "Oh, really?" And they turn around and walk off. I would like it to
I like how
connect.
you're surprised that people don't understand.
I know. And
But no one, people ask me. I own the fucking company. I go to Vegas and people ask me what I do. And I'm like, I help people lose weight. It's like, oh, like you're a personal trainer. I'm like, no, I help women. It's called No BS Weight Loss. We work on emotional eating and stuff like that. And they're like, oh. And they want to end that conversation immediately.
yeah.
It's because
Yes,
it's
they
not an
do.
easy answer. Number one. And number two, it's also like most people, even women in this group, will get on a call. And what do they say? Like, my first caller today is in this group and wanted to ask me about carbs.
Yes.
Okay. So if people will pay me to talk to them about carbs, don't be shocked when people in your free ass life don't get what we do. So,
True.
but it's interesting. So I think it's not so much that you want to convert the masses to No BS, which I would love it if you did, but you want people interested in you.
Interested in me, not
Yeah.
because of the profession I retired from, and that's a big thing. I get asked medical questions all the time, and I tell them, sure, drop your pants and we'll talk about this issue. And even after,
not a woman, you sound like a party.
Well, and I've been retired for 6 years. 10 of the last was from the VA. And I mean, I want people to recognize me as a human being and not as a professional provider and not as a PA that, you know, and they say, oh, she's a doctor. Well, I'm not, but I just get tired of hearing that. That was in my past life.
Okay. I think
this
I
is
have,
my life now.
I think I know what the problem is. And I'm fixing to ask you a really important question. How many times a day do you tell yourself, Linda, you look great? And then how many times a day do you tell yourself, you know, you are looking so good, but I do understand you don't feel really good. And that's probably hard. How many times a day are you interested in you? Curious about, why am I, like, I wonder why I would want to give up on this. I wonder why, like, I'm upset that people don't see me for who I really am. Like, how often am I being interesting with other people outside of my old profession? Am I doing interesting things in my life to get people to ask me questions? Like, that's just some of the things that you could ask. And then the last one is, how much time are you spending recognizing you as a human being who's now retired and a very different person than you used to be? How much time have you spent re-identifying as, that is not my life anymore. This is my life now. And I love it. And it's interesting.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Huh? No wonder you're on the mass hunt for all of it outside of you. No wonder it feels amazing when somebody else is doing it because you ain't doing it at all. I want you to imagine this world where someone does say you look great and it literally is boring to you because you already know it so much. It's just like, I wish people would quit telling me I look great. I mean, I know it. Can we talk about anything else? I mean, I know I'm fucking awesome, but shit, how many times can we talk about me? Let's talk about you.
True. I may look great. I tell them I take a shower and do my hair.
But you want other people to tell you you look great. And I'm asking, for someone who is spending 60% of the time emotionally in pain, and said the one thing I want the most, like when I asked why 9 pounds, you're like, I want to boost my self-esteem. You didn't even lead with your physical pain. It was the first thing you said. I just want to emotionally, I want to boost my self-esteem. That's never going to come because of 9 pounds. Because you could lose 9 pounds and people may not think you look great. You're honestly, Linda, I'm going to tell you right now, you're so thin. If you lose another 9 pounds, no one's going to notice. The biggest part of people noticing your weight loss is done. Those first like 20, 30 pounds, people notice it. Those last few, you are the only one that's going to notice it. No one's going to notice 9 more pounds. This whole, you look so good. If you are like, you know, I'm kind of tired of people saying that, then you need to tell yourself, girl, you are not feeling good right now. And that's okay. Because we're working on it. We're working on how to feel emotionally better, and we're working on how to physically feel better. Like, that's where we start putting the compassion in there. The interested in me, you want people to really be interested in you? You got to get interested in you. You need to be interested in what's going on in your head. Interested in your life. It won't come with 9 pounds. So how can we start working on this? Because I think this is like, I think you're going to lose the 9 pounds. I think you're highly motivated to do it. And I think the thing that's making you want to throw in the towel is the self-esteem issue that we're running into.
Absolutely. I agree. And I need to get my head wrapped around that because, like you, I've always been one to take care of others and not take care of me. And just like the lady from California that would just drink when I was actively working, I'd go home from work and drink just to try and get my mind to quit. And I'd wake up at 4, I'd be to work by 4:30, I'd get hassled by the boss, I'd work till 8 o'clock at night. I mean, it was just crazy, but I was just so driven to take care of my patients. I was so afraid I was going to miss something. And now I still kind of feel that way. I have a lot of dysfunctional children, and they've lived with us and grandkids. And I mean, I have tried so hard to take care of them that you're right. My self-esteem is in the toilet because I haven't taken care and recognized myself.
So how could we start doing that? Like, is there any risk or fear of taking care of yourself? If you decided, you know what, I am just going to start figuring out how to love myself, and I'm going to really get interested in myself, and I'm going to legit take care of me. Is there any fears around doing that?
No, I really don't think so.
Good to know, because then you don't
People
have
in the
options.
RA group say, when you're tired and you hurt, you have to lay down. And I don't like that because then I feel like there's things that aren't getting done that should be getting done. And but some
What
days
is,
I do.
when you lay down, what's not getting done that can't wait?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Well, I want to make sure
Housekeeping.
it's stuff
Well,
that actually can't wait. Like, because this is sometimes that we have to, this kind of goes back to, we have to have like logical discussions with ourselves at times. So, like, a lot of every, this is the curse of a woman. This is like a very big curse of being a woman, which is if I slow down, here's what won't get done, and here's who suffers because of it. That is like literally the formula I think women like, were born with in their brain. It's a lot of society stuff, and especially being a doctor, I am 100% sure that it's even more prevalent there. I am a first child syndrome, and first child poverty background, we are really bad at this. So we have to kind of look at like, all right, I got to look at this logically. I can't look at this emotionally. Just because I can't stand it and it makes me uncomfortable doesn't mean it's good for me. It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean anything. Like, just because I don't like it is not a valid reason to shut that down. So what I need to do is I need to look at, because let's say you're responsible for a grandbaby who's 1 year old and your RA flares up. No, you probably can't, like, it would be irresponsible to be like, gotta take care of me. You know, like self-care land, I've been learning how to fix my self-esteem. So baby, go play with knives while grandma takes a nap. That would be crazy, right? We wouldn't do that. But then a lot of times we'll say things like, well, I mean, who would do those dishes? Who would, whatever it is, pull the weeds in the yard, or these things that were like, we like it. It never demystifies me. The amount of random bullshit that gets on the list of things that this should be getting done over taking care of yourself when you really need it. So you just have to kind of like make your list, and you don't do this as an intellectual exercise where you're just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to think about it. You would literally make a list of like, when I need to lay down, I know I don't like it, and it's because I think I have this list of things I should be doing. And if I didn't do those, I would make that mean I am blank. What would you make that mean?
Lazy.
I am lazy. It does, like, and you have to like prove yourself on paper. If I don't do some of these things because I need to lay down, that's not the definition of laziness. That's the definition of actually taking care of yourself. I'm not used to that. That's why it feels bad. It's not because I am lazy. It is because I've been conditioned to think that way. This is actually needed for RA. This is what's going to get those 9 pounds off and all the other positive benefits. But the other thing that it does is it signals to my self-esteem, I am worth prioritizing over some dumb shit. Because this is what I know 100% about you, Linda. And you tell me if I'm a liar. If it is really that important, like life-threatening, or this would really screw somebody up, you would never take a nap on purpose and be like, whatever. Like, I'm Miss Self-Care now. So I just don't give a shit about people. If there was something on that list that had to be done, you definitely know how to push through.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. And that's what you got to tell yourself. Lazy people don't push through.
You take more ibuprofen and push through. Yes. Yeah,
you know how to do that. What we want to do is we want to quit overusing that. And I will bet you, if you look at your list of what should be getting done, you're overusing that. And if you look at it logically, you'll be able to start creating some space. Like, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe you will, this last one, people will recognize me as a human being. Well, no one can do that any better than you can. You're a human being that sometimes needs to rest instead of doing some bullshit task, just like all human beings. So if you want other people to see you as a human being, you got to act like one. Right now, you're acting like a robot. And you ain't a robot. You get tired. Robots don't wear out. Well, hell, even robots wear out. They need the parts changed sometimes.
You need to get plugged in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I don't worry about you. I just want you focused on the self-esteem part. I believe you're going to get there on your RA. I just want you to feel better too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I fell backwards down the escalator getting on the airplane and I'm full of bruises.
Oh, Jesus, that sounds awful.
It was terrible. My suitcase went back. My CPAP went. I've got bruises everywhere. My back was hurting because I had been taking care of the one-year-old and doing too much lifting. Yes, I have grandkids from 23 to 1. Ooh. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That's the age of my niece all the way down. Well, I don't even know a one-year-old. Well, actually I do know a one-year-old.
Yeah.
So, well, take care of yourself. It sounds like right now is a really good time to practice treating yourself like a human being.
Yeah, because I'm by myself in Arizona getting our place ready to sell.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. This has all been right. Very helpful. I will make my list.
Good.
Of what I need to do to take care of me.
Yes. And don't forget, we want to make a list of what I'm worried won't get done. I need to see that. You need to see that list. And you need to call bullshit on some of them. Like, what can wait, 45 minutes while I lay down, 2 hours while I lay down, whatever, how long it's going to take. Like, there's things on there, I bet you, that can wait. And someone who pushes through really knows how to prioritize and knows how to get things done, even if they don't get done on the timeline you think they should be. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Are we over? Good Lord. I don't even know what time it is. Okay. Good Lord. I about panicked because I had another call. I thought it normally starts at 1:30, and I was like, oh, okay, y'all, I have to get off. I do have another call starting, so I need to go, and I got to get ready for, I can't wear my UT top for that one, so I gotta go change my clothes. But y'all have an amazing one, Legacy. We'll see you on the next coaching call. Keep working at it. Please post in the Facebook group if you need help. Please go to Ask Coaches if you need help. You know, you've been here long enough to know there is plenty of things that you can get help with in no BS. All right, I'll talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.